In September of this year, new guidelines will come into effect on the use of physical restraint and seclusion of children in Irish schools. Physical restraint is the use of force to prevent the free movement of someone who poses an immediate threat of serious harm to themselves or others. Seclusion is the placing of a person in a room and preventing them from leaving that room. Both practices have been used to deal with behavioural problems, often on disabled or neurodivergent children. Child advocacy groups like Inclusion Ireland and As I Am say the new guidelines, which ban the use of seclusion outright and say that restraint can only be used as a last resort, leave children exposed to abuse within the education system, and they want improved reporting mechanisms on the use of restraint to safeguard children. And they are supported by the Special Rapporteur on Child Protection, Keelan Gallagher, who is with us now in our studio. Good morning and welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about the circumstances first where restraint and seclusion have been used on children in Irish schools?
Of course. Well, this has a long history, and the National Council for Special Education has actually been calling for guidelines in this field since 2012. And Inclusion Ireland, who you mentioned in the introduction, in 2017 were sufficiently concerned about it that they and a group of parents whose children had experienced these restrictive practices came together and published a very important report in 2018. And just some of the examples that they gave there, there were 14 heartbreaking case studies. I mean, one of them was, for example, a 9-year-old boy who had been repeatedly restrained and secluded in a padded room. And his parents didn't, in fact, know about the extent of what he was enduring in school. And they saw bruises on his arms, which were unexplained. And when they eventually asked for the file, they learned that, in fact, he'd been locked in a room on his own in grave distress over a long period of time. That's just one example. Another one was an ambulant child, so a child who could move, being strapped into a wheelchair just for ease, really, when he was out. Now, so there's many, many examples like that. And that is why groups for a long period of time and parents and children with disabilities and neurodivergent children have been calling for change.
And these are often non-verbal children who can't talk about their experience.
That's right. And that fits with international experience also. So this is not unique to Ireland. We've seen many examples of this in Northern Ireland too, in England, Wales, Scotland, and indeed Cornell University in 2021 in the US did a review of the use of restraint and seclusion on disabled children and neurodivergent children in the US. And it actually found that in a number of cases, children had died of positional asphyxia because of untrained staff holding children down, face down, or in ways that were dangerous. So this is a real concern, and it is high time that we had some change and some better support and regulation.
The new guidelines which come into effect in September, they say that seclusion will no longer be allowed in schools, but restraint can be allowed only as a last resort. But there have been concerns expressed about the reporting of incidences of restraint. What are those concerns? What are your concerns?
Sure. So I share the concerns that have been expressed by As I Am, by Inclusion Ireland, and also by the Children's Ombudsman. So those of us who work in this space are speaking with one voice on these issues. I, of course, welcome the fact that there now are guidelines in place. It's been a long time in the making, and in 2024, in December, they just came out. So, of course, I welcome that. And I welcome the principle that's established in the guidance. So the recognition that seclusion should not, in fact, be used, an outright restriction on that. And I also welcome the principle, of course, that restraint should be a last resort. The real difficulty is that unless you have those principles backed up with an adequate training mechanism and with much clearer detailed guidance, it's simply words. And in terms of the reporting position, the real concern that many of us have is twofold. First of all, there's a requirement that there be reporting of restraint involving a child with SEN to the National Council for Special Education. Now, National Council for Special Education is many things, but it doesn't have the powers to have a robust regulatory oversight of this. And also the kind of reporting to them is supposed to be just broad thematic reporting. So first of all, that's a problem and not sufficiently robust. Secondly, there's no requirement whatsoever to report restraint of a child without SEN. So what that means is that there's going to be an evidential gap and a regulatory gap. It's not something we would put up with in any other circumstance. So in residential settings, for example, there's a very robust oversight and monitoring mechanism. Why don't we have that in schools when the risks are similar?
The Department of Education told us that the purpose of reporting incidents to the National Council for Special Education was so that they could quantify the extent of the practice being deployed in schools by collating information submitted to them from those schools. And that there remains a statutory obligation on teachers to report on child protection concerns directly to TUSLA, and that none of the existing obligations in that regard have changed as a result of these guidelines. I mean, do you accept that, that if there are concerns about child protection, teachers still must report them directly to TUSLA?
Well, that's of course right. But the difficulty which has been expressed by all of those groups that you've mentioned earlier, and by me and by the Children's Ombudsman, is that reliance solely on self-reporting by schools is not good enough. And how is that going to change the kind of position which we saw on the 2018 report by Inclusion Ireland? So that's why it seems to us that in order to comply with international standards, with the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and indeed the Convention Against Torture, it's critical that there is a system which does not rely solely on self-reporting by schools.
All right. Something for the new Minister for Education to consider then. Cillian Gallagher, Special Rapporteur on Child Protection. Thank you for speaking with us this morning.